This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Sammy pulls up 16-footer. Yes! Sammy Matush has 24, and she's gone over 2,800 for her amazing career. Tester, part of the lane. He spins around, wide open off the window. It's good. And the Toppers have their first lead of the night, 38-37. Aubrey for three. Got it! Aubrey Rupert knocks down the triple. She has nine. Comets trail by four, their biggest deficit of the night. Matush, hesitation bounce. She's going to go right at Heilman off. So into it's good for Matush. She has 30. 100-second sectional final. 1-point lead for Greenville. Meyer for three. Got it! Kylie Meyer! Her first triple. It's 56-54. Toppers, 90 seconds to play. One in bonus for Jay Cox. Good! A 3-point lead for the Toppers. This to make it a 2-possession game. First point of the night for Jade's a big one. Number two would be bigger. Talk. Good! She got a ball. Desperation heave. There it is. The Toppers have done it. They are elite 8 bound in 2019 as Hillsboro wins the sectional on their home floor. They mob each other in front of their home bench. Oh, my goodness. 59-56. Hillsboro beats Greenville, the only team to beat Greenville all year long, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, and they did it twice.
It's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, the Huff & Sons Funeral Home, by CTI Tech, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare, and by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. We'll be catching up with Hillsboro head coach Brett Teakin probably in about 10 minutes here on FM 106. And Terry, the Toppers are headed to the Elite Eight.
How about them Toppers? I tell you, the gauntlet was thrown down this week in the sectional tournament, and it's great that they were on their home floor after winning that triple overtime contest on Monday, and then coming back and beating Greenville. And you know how good Greenville has been all year long, but they're only two losses to the Lady Hilltoppers. And, you know, Hillsboro, and we talked about this throughout the year, but the schedule they play, you know, they go to Taylorville, they go to Highland, and, you know, that's why you go to these places for this time of year.
They haven't lost to a 2A school all year, and two of the 3A teams they lost to are playing in sectionals.
Yeah.
Next week.
So what is, you know, that tells you a lot. And the fact that these young ladies had success at the lower level and realize that, you know, this is their senior year for many of them. They wanted to certainly go out with a flash and a bang and make some noise, and they are making some noise, and there was some noise at the gymnasium this past week, and what a great job Hillsboro did of hosting, and I know Joe Vanzo was excited way back when, months ago, when he mentioned to us that, hey, we've got the sectional, and I'm going, let's just hope that the Toppers get to play on their home floor. And they did. They did.
Three games, three standing room only crowds, and they couldn't have fit another human being in that gym.
But, you know, Tim, that's how basketball tournament play ought to be.
I know.
That's old school basketball, you know, and unfortunately, I think, sometimes we get so busy in our lives that we forget that, you know, it's good entertainment dollar value. You know, it's not very expensive. It's good entertainment. You can go out there and support your local team and have some fun. So.
And the triple overtime game against Pleasant Plains on Monday, since they won the sectional, that will elevate that game even more years from now. You know, it was great, but had they lost on Thursday, it would have just been kind of, oh, yeah, they won that great game. But now, getting to the Elite Eight, that game takes on a whole different type of meaning.
25 years from now, no matter what happens the rest of the way this year, 25 years from now, they're going to look back and say, I remember that triple overtime.
It's like 2011 with the Cardinals. They won the World Series in Game 7, but everybody remembers Game 6. You know, they beat Greenville, and that will be remembered.
Yeah. Yes.
But that triple overtime game, that was an all-time girls basketball game.
And there's always a game in a tournament trail run. There's always a game that you look back and said, you know, we could have blown that one. But the basketball guys were kind to us that night. We did the right things at the right time. Let's see where it leads.
Think about all the things that went against Hillsboro in that Plains game.
Mm-hmm.
They had Matouche at the free throw line to win in regulation.
Yep.
Didn't get it done. Had the ball at the end of the first overtime, turned it over. And then Carolina Giacchino banks in a three-pointer at the end of the second overtime to force the third. But Hillsboro refused to lose. And I heard several of the girls, they used that phrase after that game. We weren't going home.
Well, and you know, you just look at the coaching staff. I mean, you got Teak, you got Bobby Allen.
You said for years they have two A's.
They have two A's. They had two aces and you know, this is the time of year when little adjustments, little bits of encouragement, just little tweaks can make a big difference. And you know, you certainly think that, you know, Hillsboro has an advantage there. They really do, with basically two head coaches.
They got that, and they have the best player on the floor
at
all times.
Yeah, they do.
You know, when you're in any game, but especially a big postseason game, when you've got the best player on the floor, and the opponent knows that you have the best player on the floor, that is such a huge advantage. But don't kid yourselves. Hillsboro's not
one-dimensional.
It's just a Sammy show.
Oh, no.
You know,
no.
They are not. They are a complete team, and we saw they don't win those sectional games without the interior play of Claire Tester, Nakia Harston, Emily Reynolds, and Macy Blankenship. And they don't win those games without Jade Scroggins, Aubrey Rupert, and Kylie Meyer. All of those young ladies had their moments in big spots in both of those sectional games.
And I've seen enough girls basketball at a high level to tell you right now that you've got people like Sammy Matouche on a team, but you've got your other players, and you have your role players. You have your people that come off the bench. Very, very key. Very, very important. Without them, nothing positive happens because you can't, you know, Sammy's out there for 32 minutes plus.
Or 40 or whatever.
Whatever
it requires.
Yeah. But you know, it's the other players that can give you just a little bit different look. Give you a little bit of energy coming off the bench. And I've found that watching winning teams over the years, you've got to have these players. You've got to have the ability to be flexible and to bring people in off the bench and have the confidence to put them in there in big game situations.
You saw with Nokomis in the late 90s and Hillsboro in 06, Molly McDowell, Hope Schulte, they were the lead dogs. But it was other kids who stepped up and hit the big, big shots down the stretch.
The big free throws, the big steals, the big rebounds, you know, the stuff that maybe doesn't show up or doesn't get remembered. But these are the kids, you know, that's why they put five out there on the floor at a time, because one can't do it. And you really like the way the Hilltoppers are playing here as of late. You really like the attitude that they have had here this senior year for most of these kids. I just think that, you know, Hillsboro is sitting pretty right now as far as going into the super sectional. I certainly like their chances, and you know, with schedule strength, boy, you might be tough. It might be tough to find. You know, there might be another team that plays a type of schedule that Hillsboro does, but not very many. So,
one man teams will go 28-5. They go 500.
They go 500. That's right. A team effort, and you know, tip of the cap to the Toppers to realize this. You know,
Brett Tekin told us earlier this year, Sammy wasn't with them this summer. She was off on the AAU circuit. And so the other kids on the team had to step up and maybe do things that before they said, Sammy will do it.
Yeah.
And they are better for it.
Sure.
Kylie Meyer hit the big shot the other night.
Yeah.
Aubrey Rupert has hit big shots down the stretch. Having Jade Scroggins back this year is huge.
And that's when I want to mention Jade Scroggins. Jade was, you know, injured last year, and I know in talking to her last year she was, very disappointed and wanted to make sure she was, ready to go for her senior year. And she does a lot of things that allows Matouche and the other girls to be successful as well. So I think Scroggins having Jade back has been very, very big for the Toppers.
And all these seniors have told me over the tournament trail, last year's shortcoming has played a huge role in their kind of mental approach to this year. They lost in the first game of the regional last year when they were favored, and it left a bad taste in their mouth.
As well it should.
As well it should. Mm-hmm. And they have used that fire to have a phenomenal year this year, and now here they are in the super sectional. Well, they will take on Manitou Midwest Central, who is 27-4.
Yeah. Once you get to this point, all the teams are
good. They're
all good.
Now, Midwest Central, they beat Camp White Central Southeastern, CSE, as they call them, in the super sectional. Of course, CSE is the team that beat Hillsborough in the sectional freshman and sophomore years of this senior group.
Yeah, and CSE is a very good team.
Yes,
They were very quick, very aggressive on defense. They kind of reminded you of the Nokomis teams of the past, and having them ousted and getting Midwest Central in there is going to be an interesting matchup, which we will have, by the way, live. And by the way, if you have family and friends that live outside the area and want to hear it, it's online at WSMIRadio.com. This is the time of year when you can really take advantage of that live stream on the internet. So I can check the numbers, and it's crazy this time of year and the places that tune in and the number of people that tune in, and it's fun to watch the numbers during regional week and postseason tournament time. So
Midwest Central co-ops with Delavan.
Okay. I knew they were a co-op program. I didn't know who it was, but Delavan. Okay.
Delavan. So it'll be very interesting come Monday night to see what happens. And, again, we'll have it live, of course, for you here on FM 106 as Hillsborough will play Midwest Central for a berth in the Final Four and a trip to state.
Boy, that sounds kind of neat.
That sounds real nice, doesn't it?
It does.
The other 2A Supers, Nashville and Tautopolis, they will play at Salem. That'll be a 7:30 Super because there's a 1A Super at 6. You also have St. Joe Ogden taking on Chicago Christian. That'll be at Pontiac, and then up in DeKalb, Chicago Marshall will face Winnebago.
You just want every team to play at their best, and may the best team win. I mean, at this point, all 8 teams are good. And
the thing about Hillsborough is there's never any panic in them. They were down early in the regional final at Southwestern, came back and won. They were down early and late against Greenville, came back and won. And for Greenville, you have to feel for them.
Oh,
to go 30-0 against everybody not named Hillsborough and then lose 2 games to the Toppers. And the Toppers did it 2 different ways. The first game, they hit a school record 13 threes. And then in the sectional final, they hit a good number of three-pointers, not anywhere near that number. But it was just an all-around gutsy, gritty effort to grind out that victory on Thursday.
And I know Greenville was like, really wanted to get back to the super sectional. The last time they were there was probably 20 years ago when
they went forced.
Sandy File was their star, and Roy Mulholland was their head coach. And I remember we talked to Roy last year on the anniversary of the team going to state, and they were terrific. But Toppers had their number, and.
Sometimes,
that's just
for whatever reason, a team
basketball
will match up
out.
Good
yeah.
against another team, and Hillsborough, just matchup-wise, gave Greenville problems.
Yeah. And, one factor that we don't sometimes talk about, Tim, is the fact that they're all friends. They have each other's back. It's none of this.
Oh, they're like a sisterhood over there.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. We're
after the game, I was interviewing Aubrey Rupert, and there's Sammy behind her. And I said, hey, Aubrey, Sammy's clowning you back there. She said, she always does.
Yeah.
She always does.
And that goes all the way back to junior high. I back when they were winning state championships at the junior high level, they were tight. So it's good to see, and it's, obviously it's good for the area. And I tell you what, when you've got a coach that's been there and done that, and you've got a team that's experienced and a team that's hungry.
And the best player on the floor.
And the best player on the floor. Let's see.
Take our chances.
I'll take my chances, yes.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Hillsborough head coach Brett Tekin when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Welcome back to Sports Saturday. Busy, busy day. Of course, we're getting set for Hillsborough and Midwest Central in the 2A Super Sectional Monday night live coverage right here on FM 106, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip, FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. We got Boys Regionals starting next week. We'll have that covered for you. Of course, the wrestling tournament wraps up today, Terry, and they are actually underway right now with the WrestleBack quarterfinals. Litchfield's Will Carlisle going at 120. Auburn's Cam Lee going at 138. Vandalia's Jake Worley at 106. Anthony Inlow from Vandalia at 285. Auburn's Caleb Nix wrestling at 132. 145 pounds has Auburn's Charlie Patterson. And then at 195, Gavin Moser of Vandalia is in the WrestleBack semifinals. Those will be at 11 o'clock. And a young man from Roxana, Alex McGuire, in the state championship at 152 pounds. So good luck all of those gentlemen, and, of course, the Grand March tonight at 5:30.
And the Grand March, you know, we talk about the pageantry of the state basketball tournament and just the excitement of a state football championship, but wrestling really does it up right with the Grand March. And if you've never seen it, it's something to behold. It really is. So.
I'd say what was something to behold was the week at Hillsborough with the sectional triple overtime semifinal and the sectional championship down to the wire. The Hillsborough Hilltoppers get it done, and joining us on the phone right now is head coach Brett Tekin. And good morning, Teek.
Good morning.
Has the heart rate come down to normal levels over the last few days?
Yeah, I think we've calmed down a little bit now.
That was such an awesome scene all week long. But, Teek, what was it like when you're standing on the floor and all those students just rushed right on to surround you guys?
Oh, that was great. To watch them come over from the stage, and they were black-tied. It looked like a tidal wave coming down off the stage over there.
And the thing that you have to be able to do is to enjoy the victory and then all of a sudden get ready for the next contest, which is sometimes easier said than done.
Yeah. I mean, you want to enjoy it. You got to prepare, but you want to enjoy what's happening. With the 3-point shootout, and then you had some time in between, I went down a little early, and I was kind of talking about that with the girls. I said, however far we go, what you see tonight is going to be probably one of the games you'll remember and the scene you'll remember, because a high school gym, a standing room only, all around, up in the band room. I mean, there were just people everywhere, and it was just an awesome scene.
Teek, you've had some experience not only as a coach but as a player in these types of games, and that has to help you as a coach to share your experiences and share some ideas with your players.
I remember we talked a little bit about that last night. I remember last time in 06, things that I remember as a player, kind of looking ahead and don't look too far ahead, and it's just one game at a time. And I know we're in a position right now where Redbird Arena is extremely close, but we don't get that without a win Monday night. So we got to stay focused and just worry about that one. And then we get that one, then we can start thinking about Redbird Arena a little bit more.
Can you talk about what you did after the triple overtime win on Monday between that and the tip on Thursday, getting ready for Greenville? What were you telling your team? How did you guys get your legs back and get prepared?
Well, Tuesday, really all we did, we came in about an hour after school, and we did just a few fun shooting type of drills and didn't really get up and down the court a whole lot, just a lot of free throw shooting, a lot of just kind of stationary type of shooting drills, and talked about Greenville. It's not like it was a team that we had to really learn about. We've seen them. They're pretty much the same team they were last year. We were pretty much the same team we were last year. So we just kind of went over our scouting report and how we wanted to defend them, and took it easy on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we came in and had a little bit more of a regular practice and game planned a little bit more and tried to get ready for Thursday.
Teague, I meant to ask you this after the game on Thursday, but my mind was going a mile a minute and I forgot. Was there any conversation with 0.8 of a second left up by three to have Jade Scroggins miss that free throw on purpose?
I wasn't really worried if she did, but if she made it, it's a four-point game too.
Yeah.
So we didn't really talk about it. I thought about it before they came over, and I was like, oh, we're just going to shoot it. If it goes in, it's a four-point game. If she misses, they got 0.8 of a second to try to get a shot off full length of the court.
They lost two games all year, Teague. You beat them both times you played them. And sometimes in sports, no matter the sport, one team just matches up really good with another team. And that seems to be the case with you against Greenville.
Not just matches up, but we talked a little bit about psychologically if we can either get out to a little lead early, which obviously we didn't do, or whenever we came back, you could start seeing in their faces that they were like, oh, no, here we go again. And I know whenever, like in 06 and 07, whenever that team won state, Pena was the same way. They just knew they probably weren't going to beat us. And sometimes you get a team like that.
I'm sure you have. What do you see from Midwest Central?
They have a couple. They're quick. They pressure all over the floor. They have a couple of really good shooters. And they're very similar to Camp Point Central in that regard and stuff. But they're a good team. We're going to have to go up there and play well.
I think there's no way, no matter what you guys wind up facing on Monday night, you will not be in tougher situations than you were against Plains and Greenville.
No, I that sectional was just, it was, I mean, the teams in it along with the atmosphere and stuff, it was just an unbelievable sectional. I don't know if there's one any tougher around the state.
Well, three state-ranked teams in that thing, and the atmosphere was great the entire week long. Hillsborough did a fantastic job of hosting the tournament. And we were talking here at the beginning of the show, the triple overtime game, it was always going to be remembered, but winning the sectional, that game 25, 30 years from now, people are going to remember that ball game.
Yeah, it gives it a little bit more meaning. I mean, I think I told the girls that too. I said, not only are you guys always going to remember that, there's probably about 1,500 people in the gym that'll never forget that game.
And another 1,500 that'll lie about being there.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it might be about 3,000 in about 10 or 15 years. I said, so enjoy it. But, yeah, you're right. By winning the sectional then after that, it just gives a little bit more meaning to it and stuff.
And, Teague, the other night, Sammy goes over 2,800 points for her career. And I scratch my head as I say it because that's a staggering number.
That's a lot of points.
That's good coaching is what it is, Teague.
That's a lot of time, not only time in the gym playing, but time in the gym practicing and working on your skill and shooting and on a driveway or getting into a gym whenever somebody can open it up for you. That just to be able to do that, you just start thinking about how many shots she's actually shot in her life.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. A lot. She's a heck of a ball player. And we were talking earlier, you guys are not a one-man show, though. Sammy gets a lot of the credit, and rightfully so. She's an all-stater, and she's a phenomenal player. But all the other toppers who get minutes for you, they all have their fingerprints on this sectional championship.
Oh, definitely. Everybody contributes in some way or another. It may not always be putting points on the board, although, I mean, you listen to the highlights and stuff. We had a lot of different people hit big buckets for it, not just Sammy Matouche, Kylie Meyer, Jade at the free throw line, Aubrey, Claire Tester, I mean, Nikai Harston, they all made buckets at key moments at different times and stuff. And Claire had 10 or 11 rebounds against Greenville's 6'4" and 6-foot girls. Nakia had, I think, 7 rebounds against them. So they all contribute a great deal. You have to have that.
And if Midwest Central is similar to CSC as far as quickness is concerned, that bench becomes that much more important.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit yesterday, too. You're on a little bit bigger court, being on a college court, too. So, yeah, the length of it is a little bit longer. So you might tire a little bit quicker. So, yeah, the bench might come into play a little bit more.
Brett Tika, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Congratulations on the sectional championship, and we will see you Monday night.
All right, and thanks for everything.
Thanks,
Tika. For us, too.
All right. The Hilltoppers will play at Illinois College against Midwest Central, 7 o'clock tip, live coverage at 6:45, right here on FM 106, streaming, of course, online at WQSMIRadio.com.
Monday night, super night. You talk about Super Tuesday for election coverage. We always talk about Super Mondays for girls high school basketball, and there's going to be some terrific matchups around the state, especially in 2A. I think the 2A tournament is just absolutely loaded this year. The matchup at Salem, unbelievable. So
top two teams are out. Eureka got bounced.
Yeah.
Greenville bounced. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Can the Toppers ride it all the way to Redbird Arena? We will find out on Monday.
We will find out about 8:30 Monday night. Well, no.
Unless we have an overtime or two.
Well, that's okay.
Or three.
If it takes three, it takes three.
Two overtime games this year.
Well.
Two of them.
Yeah.
You can go 5 years and not see a triple overtime game. They got two of them in 1 year.
Well, they've got experience.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Speaking of experience, one of the great officials around the state of Illinois joining us on the phone right now, our good old buddy Carl Ray Fesser. And Carl Ray, as Uncle Ralph used to say, I guess you shimmied up the pole to make this call.
Well, first I had to swim through the creek and bust the ice to get there and everything. Hello, gentlemen. How are we going?
Hey, we're doing great, Carl Ray. How have you been during this basketball season, my friend?
Good, good. Everybody's staying healthy and getting a few vacations out of the way so we could take a little break and get ready for postseason.
Yeah, now, where will you be going?
I am going to Effingham St. Anthony, but first and foremost, I got to give a shout-out to my buddy Teak and them Hillsboro girls. Go win Monday night, girls. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever
went to school together?
Okay, there you go. He might not claim you, but
yeah, he will. Yeah, he will.
No, he will. He definitely will. Carl Ray, you've done a lot of officiating over the year. Have you ever been on the court with a three overtime game?
I've been on a lot of twos, but I don't believe I've ever been on a three. Them are great games to work and have fun with. And, I mean, the kids work so hard when you get in that scenario, and you got to try and work just as hard as they do to keep up with them.
And, Carway, I thought that this sectional Hillsboro, it was top-notch officiating for all three games. And the biggest thing to me was the officials, all three games at Hillsboro, they let the kids play, let the kids decide the game.
Exactly. It's going to be a little, postseason, we're going to let them play a little bit more, in my opinion, or we try and do, just because we don't want a knick-knack, a little bitty foul, and foul a kid out of a ball game, and he might be the best player on the floor, and you just don't want to, you want to keep them kids in the game as much as possible.
So, and you used to play, and you remember how it is, and, you know, these ticky-tack fouls, man, they just drive people crazy, including coaches and parents and sometimes even other officials.
Well, and us too. We know when we got a good foul and when we don't. You know, we'll blow the whistle and go, oh, man, I should have been chewing on it, you know. But you blow the whistle and it happens every while. But, I mean, we're getting a little bit more experience, so we're kind of letting them kids play through. And we might have a late whistle. And that's why we have the late whistle, to see if something happens, to not blow a foul or something. I know we had a situation last night. We had fans up in the air, and it was all because we were letting the kids decide. You know, we give it the ball out of bounds. It happens quite often. We don't call the foul, but we'll give it to the team out of bounds.
Yeah.
And we just save that kid a foul. And, I mean, it may not make sense to the fans, but that's just the way the game's being played now.
And in postseason play, Carl, when people will drive an hour, 2 hours, maybe two-plus hours to a postseason tournament site, you know, the last thing you want them to do is to have their best ball player on the bench 2 minutes into the ball game.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, a foul's still a foul.
Yeah.
But We just do, I mean, I get in postseason, there is a lot, I do a lot of talking, probably more than I do in the regular season, just to try and help the kids out a little bit, and also the coaches. They get a little bit wound, and I don't want to throw technical fouls around. That just, it's my opinion, that ruins the game. When I go home after calling a team in the postseason, that just makes for a long trip home.
And, Carl Ray, you may not understand this or realize this, but nobody's paying $5 to get into the game to watch you blow your whistle.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's about seeing them kids play that game. You're exactly right, Tim. Hey, and by the way, great job. I did get to listen to the end of the Hillsborough game. Great job, Tim.
Thank you.
T's taught you well, is what I'm going to say.
He's taught me everything I know. But, yes, I really appreciate that, Carl Ray. And
yep. You
know how it is. When the further you go in the postseason, whether you're a broadcaster, an official, a player, coach, or fan, you just feel the intensity with each passing round. And when you get into a close game late in the sectional final, it doesn't get any more tense than that.
You're exactly right. And I tell you what, here's my opinion on it. Your sectional championship is the most intense game, in my opinion, because it's the high school setting.
Mm-hmm.
You're in high school gyms. You get in that super sectional. A lot of times you're in college gyms, and you're just away from the fans, and they're not on top of you, and you can't quite hear exactly what they say at times, and that's a good thing.
Well, there was a point the other night, Carl Ray, where after Hillsborough took their first lead, Colin Dothager's trying to call a timeout, and there was three more passes on the floor because the players couldn't hear the whistle. It was so loud.
Yeah, and, well, when you get in that situation, man, you get to on that whistle, you got to get in there and stop that play, because what happens if a kid gets hurt and you've got a dead ball? Man, you talk about coaches and fans getting crazy. Ooh. I mean, that's hard to do, but
yeah.
You got to get in there and stop that play.
And, Carl, you mentioned about playing on a college-sized floor. I've always thought that the best thing that could happen to a super sectional game is that it's always on a college-sized floor, because if the team that wins the contest moves on to the state tournament, all of a sudden they go from an 84-foot court to a 94-foot court, and really it's kind of a disadvantage to that team coming off a high school length court if they didn't get to play on a college size court in the super sectional.
Well, there's different opinions on, you know, their opinions are alike.
yeah.
It's, you know, it's 10 foot longer, but, you know, when, like, Coach Kimbrough, we win with defense at Nokomis, so we like them tighter floors. So, yeah. I mean, it's just whatever you think. And you know, it's you throw the ball up, and the kids got to win, decide who wins that ball game. And I don't care if it's on 84-foot court or 94-foot court. Just us old guys, we don't like that extra 10 feet to get up and down the floor. You know, tell them to start to hang out a little bit.
Carl Ray Fesser, thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday, and have a good week next week, sir.
Will do. Hey, T, you getting along pretty good?
I'm hanging in there, buddy. And you keep up the good work, my friend. You're one of the finest officials around, Carl.
Well, thank you very much. I do very much appreciate it. It's all about the kids.
Yeah, it is. You're right. You're right.
Take care.
All right. Our buddy Carl Ray Fesser, you're right. He is a great official.
Tell you what, we've got some terrific officials around here. And, you know, when you walk into the gymnasium and you see these guys walking, you're we're going to have a good game tonight, you know. Maybe the score is not going to be close, but we know we're going to have a good game called.
It's going to be well officiated.
Yeah, it's going to be well officiated, absolutely.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will roll on following these messages on WSMI.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
By the way, 1 week from today, Cardinal Baseball on AM 1540, FM 106.9, our first set of weekend broadcasts begin at 11:45 each Saturday and Sunday.
If it's not raining. First day of official practice in rain.
Or hurricane, you know.
Well, you never know down there.
Yeah, I tell you.
Never know.
Very quickly, I got a couple things here I want to throw at you, Tim, for folks to be aware of. There's going to be a Level 2 softball clinic next Sunday, February 24th, at Litchfield High School. It's open to anyone that's interested in becoming a softball umpire, along with any coach, and the time is from 1 to 5. If you have any questions, you can contact Louie Lang, who is the AD at Litchfield High School. And if you want to get in, and, you know, this guy has officiated like 900,000 softball games.
Softball. See, he does all the sports. Softball is his sport.
Louie, Hall of Fame softball official. So that's coming up on Sunday, February 24th. Let me suggest, if you are the least bit interested, you take part of that. And we want to remind you that Dave Jackson of the St. Louis Sports Collectors is going to be at the BRS Museum in Nokomis today from 1 to 3 for free appraisals of your sports memorabilia.
Right,
so if you have something that's, you know, a few years old and you're wanting to know, is it worth anything?
He can make you rich, or he can make you depressed when he says, just throw that out.
But you know what? You still get to go to the museum.
It's a great museum.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, this past Monday, Sonny Jim Bottomley went into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame.
About darn time, that's folks, right. I'm telling you.
That's right. Kyle Hirschman has a nice article about that in the Journal News. You can read about all about that there. And, of course, we'll...
I'm still trying to get his picture on the outfield wall.
No reason for it not to be there.
Yeah, I'm still sending emails. So.
Of course, we'll be at the BRS Museum sometime this summer.
We are definitely going to be there, absolutely, yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Always a great spot. It's, you know, we talk baseball at this radio station 365 days a year. It doesn't make any difference. It could be football season, basketball season, but we still talk baseball.
It's always baseball
every
season.
Every day. Every day.
Yes.
Every day.
We also talk a lot about the state basketball tournament. We love the state basketball tournament. We always call it the crown jewel of the IHSA. And could be some changes coming for the 2021 season, and we like them.
I want to say this about the state tournament in Illinois. Best in the country. Simply the best.
Yeah, you watched the other one.
Because March Madness originated here.
That's right.
And these guys put on a great tournament. And, Tim, go ahead and kind of throw out, and I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Putting tournaments, the tournaments all together on a weekend.
And that is the proposal now. All four girls' classes will be played March 4th through the 6th. All four boys' classes would be played the following weekend. So you'd have most likely semifinals Thursday and Friday with all four championship games on that Saturday. We have definitely talked about this for really ever since they went to four classes about having a championship weekend. And you talk...
I think the crowds would be just tremendous.
That Saturday with four title games in a row, because, you know, the crowds for the 4A and 3A often aren't quite as good, just because you get the bigger cities and they're, you know, like Simeon's great.
Yeah.
But the 3 million people or whatever in Chicago don't care about Simeon. They're not going to go down and watch them. But if you've got all four classes back to back to back, guess what? The 1A people ain't leaving.
Yeah.
The 2A people ain't leaving. They're going to stick around and watch the 3A
in
the 4A games. So you're going to have a sellout crowd like it used to be back in the day.
And they're still looking for venues to hold the tournament.
Champagne's back in.
Champagne's back in. The challenge here is Peoria has done such a great job of hosting the boys' basketball tournament because of the March Madness experience. They're going to have to be able to do something like that.
That can't go away now.
That can't go away. No.
You're not going to get the boys' state tournament if you don't have a reasonable way to pull off the March Madness experience. And it's got to be in the same building or, you know.
Yeah. It's got to be adjacent.
It has to be indoor. You can't be walking outside from one to the other. That's what really takes that experience to another level is it's literally 15 steps from the gym.
Yeah. And the kids just absolutely love it. And the adults love it. You know, I mean,
I love it.
Yeah, you can meander in there.
The history.
Oh, it is. It just reeks of the history of Illinois basketball, which is so rich in tradition and even has its little quirky parts of it. But the March Madness experience is terrific. And I like this idea. Having all four championships on one weekend, and basically instead of having four weekends and doing like the girls 1A in February, I like the fact that it's March. You play basketball in March. And then that way you don't necessarily have to start the season until after the 1st of December. Maybe it gives you a little break in there. So,
Champaign and Peoria have both applied for the boys' tournament. And then Hoffman Estates applied for the 3A and 4A tournament. But obviously, if this proposal goes through, that won't matter at all because it'll all be in one venue. And then Redbird Arena, of course, at ISU, and then the Renaissance Center at Bradley have submitted bids to host the girls' tournament.
And rearing its ugly head again is a proposal put together by a state representative in the Chicagoland area that wants to basically force the Illinois High School Association to disband and become part of the state of Illinois, which is
ridiculous,
stupid, will never hold up in court. It'll go to the appellate court, and it'll be struck down, which it has been time after time after time. And I just don't understand, you know, tell us what the problem is. Tell us what you want. Do you want to be, you know, the state of Illinois has...
Well,
first off, they've got pension problems. They've got infrastructure problems. They've got all sorts of challenges ahead of them. Education. Schools need repair. Schools, you know, teachers need to be paid. And let's face it, coaches who are teachers get paid squat. You know, that needs to be addressed, I think. And yet they want to get into involved in take over with the Illinois High School Association and to take care of activities. Are they willing? Is the state willing to take on 40 activities? Because that's what the IHSA does. You know, we chew on their butts every once in a while because we think maybe something could be better. But the IHSA, with their football and their basketball tournaments, support like 38 other activities, including journalism, Scholastic Bowl, music contest, ensemble contest. And you just don't find a high school organization hardly anywhere in the country that does what the IHSA does.
You got the other states coming in to see
how
the IHSA is running their
bass
operation.
Bass fishing. Is the state of Illinois going to get involved in bass fishing? Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, and people chuckle about bass fishing, but it's huge.
Widely popular.
You know, I just think the state of Illinois has got enough problems trying to keep itself afloat. They don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or, as I like to say, the more you overthink the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain.
Just leave it alone. Yeah, just let it be
because
they do such a wonderful job. And as you said, 40 different activities that they are involved with. You know, and everybody thinks about the football.
Yeah.
They think about the basketball. But it's all the other things. That's what makes the IHSA the IHSA.
Hey, if there's a groundswell of support of maybe moving the 3A and 4A basketball tournaments to Chicagoland, okay, tell us that. You know, personally, I think it belongs in Central Illinois because that way it's pretty much equal access to all parts of the state. But you know, if they really feel like they have an advantage, it would be, you know, wise to move it to the Chicagoland area, so be it. Okay.
The biggest complaint I feel that the IHSA receives is the disparity between how private schools are treated and public schools are treated. And I guarantee you the General Assembly would not be addressing that. That would probably only make the problem worse.
Oh, that would be absolutely.
Because
they want to be reelected.
Well, that, and I've probably over 90%, maybe 95% of the people in the General Assembly went to private school.
Yeah, yeah. And you're talking about private schools, charter schools, and the public schools are the ones that are on the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if the problem is, and this is one thing that La Chapavia, back in 2014, Representative La Chapavia was upset about, was the fact that public schools with tax money were members of the Illinois High School Association. They didn't like the fact that tax money was being used to become part of a membership of the IHSA. And the IHSA has been taken to court time and time again, all the way to the appellate court. It's been upheld. They're not doing anything wrong. They're doing everything according to the law. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So,
well said.
Yeah.
Well said. So we will move along from that.
As a commissioner of the National Stickball League, I can tell you from personal experience, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Just leave it alone?
Yes, leave it alone.
Joining us on the phone right now is Kyle McBrain. And Kyle, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good. We wanted to talk to you this morning because it was announced earlier this week that you will be stepping down as the girls' basketball coach at Staunton to spend more time with your family. So we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your tenure there, and we'll just give you the platform to talk about your decision and the times and memories you made at Staunton.
Yeah, you know, when I first started at Staunton, started with the girls' program 5 years ago, we didn't have any kids. So I was pretty much free to, you know, my wife was really supportive and let me kind of go about my way and coach as many sports as I wanted to. So coached a little bit of football, coached a little bit of basketball, a little bit of baseball, and then the high school girls' program opened up, and I decided to take a shot at it, and there were definitely some up and downs. We got off to kind of a slow start the first few years, but we were kind of able to build it up, and then when we started co-oping with Mount Olive, obviously picking up Savannah for the last 2 years really catapulted us. But also, you know, the seniors that we had this year that were originally Staunton players, they just really bought in from their freshman year. You know, we had probably 10 or 11 girls from that class, and three of them end up sticking it out all the way through. Yeah. So just to see their development and the way they just stuck through the hard times and to be able to finish up their career with the season that we had was just pretty remarkable.
And, Kyle, when you factor in all the summer work for basketball, it's about half the calendar year.
Yeah, and you know, that kind of went into my decision. Obviously, I coach baseball, too, and I it's hard to pick a favorite. But, you know, the baseball season is just – it's just a different – you know, it's a little shorter, earlier nights getting home, you know, no – not really too many holidays in the way and things like that. So it was a really difficult decision, but one that I think would be best now that we have two little ones at home.
Yeah, that's you know, and it's understandable, and I don't think anybody we're sad to see that the position is you know opened up, but it's going to give somebody else an opportunity now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm not sure who's going to step in or who they're looking at, but like I said, it was not an easy decision. I love coaching those girls, even through the tough seasons. You know, it was awesome to see their progress and, you know, their ability to stick through it and come out pretty good on the other side.
Their ability to stick through it, though, was derived a lot from you because you're such a positive influence, a positive guy, a guy who's a winner. I think I've told you this personally before. I just think an awful lot of your ability to coach and to put a positive spin on things.
Well, I appreciate that. That's just I don't know, you sometimes you get caught up in the wins and in the losses, but I think all coaches, you know, you can kind of look at what you have and try to make the best of your situation, and I think we, Coach Herschel and I, did a pretty good job of that over the last few years.
Definitely.
And, Kyle, you were so well-respected amongst your South Central peers, and I'm sure you've heard from a lot of them, but that has to mean a lot when you hear such positive things from the guys that you were doing battle with over the last 5 years.
Yeah, it really does, and that's going to be part of it that I miss as well. Is, you know, we have some great coaches that are also great people in this league, and
yeah.
You know, just not. I'm definitely going to miss it. There's not going to be it's not going to be an easy winter next year. But you know, I'm hoping well for everybody, and I do appreciate those that have reached out. It does mean a lot.
And being dad is pretty important too. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what it boiled down to. Is, you know, I've heard from a few people that say, you know, you can always come back to coaching, yeah. But you only get one chance to raise your kids. So you know, that's where, you know, I took some time. I prayed about it. I talked to my wife about it. And I think ultimately this is the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Kyle McBrain, you're a class act, sir. Yeah. And thanks for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck.
Hey, I appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Thanks, Kyle.
Of course, baseball season right around the corner for Kyle. His Bulldogs going to be good.
I'll tell you, oh man, are they going to be good this year? Yes, indeedy.
So. Well, that is going to pretty much wrap up Sports Saturday here on this Saturday. Midwest Central Hillsboro for a berth to state Monday night, 7 o'clock tip, 6:45 here on FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. Tito, take us home.
Make sure you check out our broadcast schedule on our website, WSMIRadio.com. And that's going to do it for Sports Saturday.